Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Douglas Trade Shows, serving Hawaii since 1983, producing annual trade shows and expositions, and providing management services for trade events. DouglasTradeShows.com.
By this point in his career, Neil Abercrombie has held most of the political positions of power. He was a Honolulu City Council member. He held seats in both houses of the Hawaii Legislature and then became Hawaii's congressman in the U.S. House of Representatives. In 2010, he became the seventh governor of the state until 2014. In the very changed and ever-evolving political landscape, we asked former Governor Abercrombie for his take on Hawaii and its congressional delegation. Governor Abercrombie, good to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so very much for having me. I was hoping I could participate in the quiz.
That's because you know the answer.
If somebody hasn't gotten that already, shame on them.
So as you look at, first of all, what we heard from yesterday's press conference about the rail deal, what's your assessment of it?
Well, it's interesting that we talk about the rail deal. When did mass transit become rail? That's really probably the key to trying to figure out everything that's happened since then. It was never rail. It was always mass transit. I guess I'm the last person alive, literally, that has actually seen or been involved in the mass transit aspect of transportation on Oahu, on the leeward side of Oahu, right from the very beginning. The old 3M Council, before there was an H1, Mo'ili'ili, Makiki, and Manoa, Frank Fossey came to explain how he thought that it would have to be an alternative transportation system, mass transit system, in addition to the bus system. So it's been going on all those years. It was always mass transit. The second it became rail, it literally changed dimensions, and that's why we're in the dilemma we're in today.
So what do you make of the deal as it's being talked about now, the deal that seemingly not a lot of people are happy with?
Well, why would they be? Everyone who has been a part of trying to find a solution, which is now being called a deal, which in and of itself tells you why there's a difficulty here. Why would you be making a deal on something as opposed to merely fulfilling a contract?
So what would you think has to happen if it's not this deal?
Well, it's not so much a matter of whether it's this deal or not. The question is everybody keeps avoiding the question, which is, what is the bottom line? It's all being put off. And the general treasury is being raided in order to do this. And the implications from this are extraordinarily profound. The only thing that I can see to do at this stage that makes any sense, if the particulars of this deal are as has been reported, is to stop.
In the interest of time, I want to ask you about some other things,
sure,
too. As you look at the state now, and you've been out of office for a little while, which gives you an interesting perspective to be able to watch and see.
Yeah.
How are you assessing some of those issues that you felt were most important when you were in office?
Well, they're not being directly dealt with other than by indirection. The most important thing from my point of view was the young people, the future. That involved preschool, universal preschool, and universal digital education. All of that's being ignored, set aside. Our children are being prevented from being truly able to enter the 21st century. And at the same time, then, we continue to find money for projects like this rail, including taking money away from the state. The state retained. Let me give you a quick example. There is a phrase, say, the so-called skim, 10% that the state charges the city for the excise tax. That's not a skim. That's general fund money. That was the price of loan of giving the money to the city. And now, if this deal is correct, that's being taken away, or 3%, $27 million a year. And this goes to like 2030 now. That means hundreds of millions of dollars that could go for senior services, for fixing the roads that almost kept me from getting here today, for preschool, for digital education of our kids. All of that disappears. I just think it's utterly irresponsible.
Talk to me about homelessness.
Well, there's another example. We came up. We had the idea of the housing first. You have to put people in housing, not just shelter, but into housing with requisite programs. Take Chinatown, where I am right now. My office is in Chinatown. I'm there all the time. What's needed there in Chinatown, and exists especially through the IHS, are programs for the mentally disabled, for addicts, for the derelicts on the street. But we don't put them into the programs. We're not putting that kind of money. And we spend $4 million to move people from one place to another. I work out at the New Guana Y, right behind the Y. There was an encampment there. It was routed out for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that was replicated all over. People are coming back. They're right there. You have to have a complete program. You should have a mobile court that decides whether someone is mentally disabled, whether they're addicted. You put them into programs. You send them there. You have flying squads of the sheriffs or the HPD or a combination that move people off the street into a competent court setting, into medical and or other service programs. You have to do it comprehensively. It's not being done.
So what do you make of the goals for Hawaii shelters that we're going to talk about later in the program that tie funding to how well those goals are met as HUD outlines them?
Well,
which is largely housing first.
Yeah, but you have to go ahead and do it. You can't use a punishment a kind of approach. It has to be comprehensive to begin with. Chinatown's a good example. The Chinatown, you should be doing it. The young entrepreneurs I see in Chinatown every day are being hurt because of three things. Not these bulb outs about pedestrian safety. Pedestrian safety is hit because there's not enough police on the street. We don't have neighborhood police watch sufficient numbers at the Mauna Kea station. You don't remove people from the street who frighten people and who scare people and who are in desperate need of help, and you don't have the necessary parking that could be there, and the housing that needs to be done.
Well, we're talking about things that aren't there, but that are necessary.
It has to be comprehensive. That's my point.
What would you say about the progress that's been made on unfunded liabilities?
It isn't being made. It's that's the reason we pay now in unfunded liabilities, because I forced that issue. It's one of the reasons I'm sitting here rather than down and at the Capitol at the moment. But I forced the issue because it has to be addressed, and we had a game plan for that. Now, the unfunded liabilities for the pensions and the health care fund, which has no money in it and is pay-as-you-go, does not have sufficient funds. And when you give money to rail, for example, you're taking money out of the general revenues to meet those obligations. I don't see how you can keep on doing that.
This is a very changed political climate than was when you were either in Washington or
yes,
certainly here down at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. How do you view the position of Hawaii, its strength or its ability to get things done in the best interest of the state, given what you're seeing in Washington?
Well, that takes me back to, again, one of the reasons I'm sitting here rather than down in the Capitol. That was the appointment of Brian Schatz to the U.S. Senate. I, to my dying day, as I take my last breath, I will have a smile on my face because I appointed Brian Schatz to the United States Senate. No matter what happens with the present executive incumbent, no matter what takes place in terms of the trauma and political difficulties, the United States Senate is going to depend on seniority. And Brian Schatz is going to be a leader in the United States Senate. He's a leader now. He's very well liked. He has a bipartisan capacity to engender support for himself and for Hawaii. We could not be better placed in the Congress of the United States and in the Senate in particular than to have Brian on the Appropriations Committee.
And what about in Congress?
And in Congress itself, we have our representatives on the Armed Services Committee, which I think is very, very important, and on Resources Committee. Again, Brian is in that position. Maisie Hirono sits on the Armed Services Committee. So in terms of institutional authority and capacity for Hawaii to have an impact, and in terms of subject matter that affects Hawaii most directly, Hawaii is very well placed in a congressional situation.
What about their ability to make impact for health care? I mean, that's been the political football.
Well, of course, that transcends Hawaii. And but they can have an impact. One of the things I have tried to put forward over the years is the prepaid health care plan that Hawaii put into effect in 1975, passed in 74, came in 1975 when I entered the legislature. So we have more experience with pre-existing conditions, community-based rating. The entire bill, you know, is only about 8 or 9 pages long. The whole thing is about 12 pages, which includes the mission statement and how it works. The whole thing is run out of the Department of Industrial Relations, by the way, you know, out of the Labor Department, with a few computers and a couple of professionals running it. The expenses, in other words, are virtually nil. What we need to have is what Brian and the congressional delegation support, which is, in effect, Medicare for All. Which would combine the state contributions through Medicaid, and you have your Medicare card becomes your national health card. I've been fortunate all these years, and I always told everybody I have national health care. I'm a Kaiser member. I joined Kaiser when Henry Kaiser was still with us, and where the Prince Hotel is, that was the Kaiser Hospital. So I had it in Washington. I had it in California, which is where I landed a lot on an airplane, and in Hawaii. So all you have to, if you want to still have a private sector at all, you have to have a health maintenance operation like Kaiser, and you either contract for it or just go to Medicare for All. That's what the Hawaii delegation supports, and I think we have credibility because we have the best operating medical care system of any state in the union.
Well, I hope your health continues to be well and that all things go well. Thank you so much for the visit.
Is that a frightening prospect for people?
I guess that depends on how they feel about it, but I'm very happy that at least you're here and well, and thank you so much for coming in for the visit.
Great pleasure for me. Thank you very much, and good luck.
Thank you. Neil Abercrombie served as the 7th governor of the state of Hawaii from 2010 to 2014. He's also held seats in both houses of the Hawaii legislature, the U.S. House of Representatives, and the Honolulu City Council.